You're fired. That is a message from Google to engineer John Damore for writing a 10-page memo in which he tried to promote diversity of opinion at Google. I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is Right Angle, brought to you by the paying members at BillWhittle.com. Gents, this is crazy. It's been all over the news since this memo broke late last week, and then boom, Monday night, Google announced that they fired Damore for writing what everybody in the major news outlets is calling an anti-diversity memo. But what I want to do is take a look at what is being said about what Damore wrote versus what he actually wrote, and the virtual oppression that Google is showing towards its employees. Listen to this. Here's what Google's diversity vice president wrote on Monday. She said, "I found that it advanced incorrect assumptions about gender. I'm not going to link to it here as it's not a viewpoint that I or this company endorses, promotes, or encourages." And when I read this, I thought, oh boy, this guy's getting fired for sure. There's no way. But gents, here is what he actually wrote. Damore said, "I'm also not saying that we should restrict people to certain gender roles. I'm advocating for quite the opposite. Treat people as individuals, not as just another member of their group." Bill, can that be can that kind of heresy be allowed to stand? Shouldn't this guy be burned at the stake?
Steve, I'm actually sorry to interrupt the show, but I don't think you set up what he said originally. I mean,
no.
If you hadn't heard the story, you'd have no idea that he was under fire for saying that maybe women and men don't have the same aptitude for engineering or something like that.
Except that's not what he said. Let me get to that. He said differences in distributions of traits between men and women may in part explain why we don't have 50% representation of women in tech and leadership. Discrimination to reach equal representation is unfair, divisive, and bad for business. In other words, he's saying that Google trying to promote people who just aren't there, who aren't in the company, could hurt their bottom line.
Well, of course he was fired, because that's common sense truth and everybody knows it.
Exactly.
So needless to say, he had to be fired. I did a firewall a couple weeks ago called The Republic of Emotion, and basically what I said was this: if you're a progressive, the genders have to be completely equal. In other words, there's absolutely no reason why there won't be 50% engineers at Google because women make up 50% of the population. The fact that far more men go into engineering than women cannot reflect a fundamental difference between men and women. This is how the progressives think. Because if it meant that there was a fundamental difference between the brains of men and women, let's say, and their aptitude for engineering, then that would mean that there's an external truth. And if there's an external truth, then that means we can't make everybody rhetorically happy. We can't, by an act of rhetoric or management, basically solve the problems of the world. Their entire worldview depends on this idea that the truth is something that just simply is defined away. And if we say that women are just as likely to be astronauts as men, engineers as men, then we will make it so. Because if it turns out that these unpleasant, or at least unpleasant to them, truths exist, then other unpleasant truths exist, like healthcare is not free and war is not a big misunderstanding and all the rest of it. So he had to be fired because you cannot, the only way that this kind of lunacy survives is for it to become the norm, the commonplace. And whenever anybody has any kind of voice of reason or anything like that, it is really like the kid at the end of the parade saying the emperor is not wearing any clothes. You just stand back and go, well, of course that's true. Now, needless to say, I'm not saying, and he's not saying, that women can't be engineers or that women shouldn't be engineers or any of that. But he is saying that if you look at enrollment, it's nothing like 50-50. Nothing like. And I'm reminded of a cartoon I loved so much, and it was not a trade show thing. It was, you know, when you get to college and there's all these booths for the different majors and so on.
An employment fair.
Yeah, one of those things.
Jobs fair.
And basically there was one booth that said STEM for, you know, these are the male-oriented studies, science, technology, engineering, and math. So one booth had a STEM, and the other one had gender studies, and all of the women went to the gender studies thing, and then in the next panel, they're holding up a sign that says "More women for STEM," and that's it, right? They so many of these people are holding up a sign and denying the reality of what it is. There's certainly no obstacle that I can see. In fact, not only no obstacle, it's certainly a gigantic boost. If you're a woman and you want to be an engineer in this country, I suspect you're going to get quite a good little tailwind.
Oh yeah, and what DeMoor was saying was that by promoting the sort of non-diversity of thought, by promoting groupthink, it's actually harming the company in the long run. But here is what Google's own diversity VP, which may be the most Orwellian name ever, said about the memo. She wrote, "To suggest a group of our colleagues have traits that make them less biologically suited to that work is offensive and not okay." Scott, what does it tell us about Google that they have to lie about their own employees to enforce this kind of groupthink?
Well, I think the first thing it tells us is that the diversity officer did not, in fact, read the 10-page memo from the employee. Because
they're lying about it.
But how can they now? Because it's out there. Anybody who wants to can see it. I actually, did the thing that probably 9 out of 10 journalists did not do, and I read the thing. And I kept waiting for these, sensational claims and the sexist, discriminatory kind of stuff. And over, the author of the memo says things like, "Now, what we're talking about here doesn't apply to any individual person. It's just acknowledging broad demographic categories. It's just looking at the realities of the way things are. And instead of looking at a situation where you don't have 50% men and 50% women in software engineering and assuming that that must be caused by historical oppression, that maybe you want to look at it and say, there could be other factors at work here." Now, here's the key test of an intellectually honest organization. This diversity officer said that this guy was promoting incorrect ideas. Okay, I was in third grade once. Raise your hand if you were once in third grade. I was in third grade once, and I had some incorrect ideas about math. At one point, I believe I thought that 7 + 4 = 9. At which point the teacher kicked me out of school. I was no longer allowed to go to school because I had some incorrect ideas. No, of course I wasn't kicked out of school. No, the teacher's job is to correct my incorrect ideas. So if you're the diversity officer for Google, what a prime opportunity to sit down and have a panel discussion in front of the whole division if you want to, and video it out to the world because you know that you're in possession of the true ideas, the correct ideas. So get that guy on stage and sit down with him and say, "Let's take a look at this piece you wrote because I think it promotes some incorrect ideas. I'd like you to defend your incorrect ideas, and I will, of course, defend the correct ideas, and we'll have an open dialogue about this," because this is Google. Google, where you can search any question and get a diversity of answers about that. And a lot of people are now looking at Google and saying, is that algorithm completely unbiased? Am I getting a diversity of answers, or am I getting the answers Google wants me to see?
And that's what DeMoor was saying. Oh, yeah, sorry, Bill.
Scott answered that question as any person of integrity and reason would answer the question, but that's not what we're dealing with here. Of course the diversity officer read the memo. Of course she did. She read it many times. And of course she understood that there was no malice involved. And of course she understood that he wasn't saying women can't be engineers. She understood all this thing. The job of the diversity, head of the diversity department at Google is to provide a virtue shield to defend Google against the violence and the intimidation and the bullying of the left. Yeah. Her job is to sacrifice this man publicly, put him on an altar and sacrifice him and hold up his beating heart and show everybody that Google is in fact a virtuous company, and that's why she did what she did. It's not like she didn't know what he said or that she knew there was no harm in it, and she even knows that he's right. But that's not her job. Her job is to be an activist. Her job is to be outraged. That's her job. Her job is to be morally outraged. And apparently she's done her job very well.
Yeah, 35 years ago, I saw a bumper sticker, which I think is still as good now as it was then. It said, "Ban intolerance."
Because if there's one thing I can't stand.
It's fanatics. Great. Put them up against the wall and shoot them all.
Yeah, every single one of them. Look, Kurt Schlichter tweeted earlier today, this is Tuesday, that if Google can't handle diversity of opinion inside the company. Soon they'll try and oppress it outside the company. That's the real danger here, I think. Now, legally, there may be actions we can take, and that's something we're going to talk about in my next segment this week, which normally would be for members only, but this thing has grown into such a huge issue, covering more companies than just Google, that we're going to open that one up to non-members as well. But let me finish by saying this, that as a consumer, far outside the field of antitrust, there are things you can do. Let me tell you what I've done. I don't have any Google apps on my phone reporting back my every movement and bit that I download back to the mothership. I use DuckDuckGo as my search engine, and when that fails me, I use Bing as my backup. I don't use Gmail or any other free email service. I go to HostMatters, and for a few bucks a month, I get my own domain and 1,000 email addresses that nobody tracks. And maybe most importantly, I use a JavaScript blocker in my web browser. And what that lets me do is kill off all of Google's tracking. You can use Ghostery, you can use JS Blocker 5. There are a variety of tools you can use that kill off this privacy-invading JavaScript that turns you into Google's product. You are their product. They sell their crappy little banner ads, as Steve Jobs once described them, by tracking you and then making you the product that they sell to advertisers. And you don't have to be that product. Just delete their apps and use somebody else and get your own email addresses. So that's what you can do. We're going to talk about what the country as a whole can do in part two, and that's coming up later this week. I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.